All right, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, here is today's commentary.
You know, Michael, people, the reason that we have a difficult time with discourse is that people believe what they want to believe, and then once they become hardened in that position, a lot of people, and I'd like to think I'm not included in this. I am always open to information that will cause me to change my mind. I am open to that. I'll tell you what I believe, and then say, now if you can provide me with information to cause me to change my belief, then I'm open. I'm open to that. But the people who of the left, they have two reasons. One is many of them deeply believe it in spite of all the evidence to the contrary. But more importantly, most of them have their hand out, and it's a money issue. And so if you pay me ridiculous amounts of money to believe something, and I'm going to put believe now in quotes because I don't really believe it. I just support it because I'm getting paid to do so. That's where we are in this country. And the issue in particular that I want to talk about today is energy. And there was a great article by James Freeman in the Wall Street Journal. And I would, for those of you who subscribe to it, look it up. It's called Why the Energy Transition Will Fail. And it talks about how it says the government of California can issue as many proclamations and prohibitions as it wants to against gasoline-powered vehicles, but it doesn't change the fact the gasoline-powered vehicles are a necessity and will remain so for the foreseeable future. And here's what he goes on. He talks about this guy named Mark Mills, who will be a marked man now because he writes for the Manhattan Institute. And he said, consider, and this is Mark Mills, he says, quote, consider the years of hypertrophied, is that it, rhetoric, and the trillions of dollars of spending and subsidies on a transition that have not significantly changed the energy landscape. He said, civilization depends on hydrocarbons for 84% of all of its energy, a mere 2 percentage points lower than two decades ago. Now, we've spent $5 trillion. As a world, we spent $5 trillion on renewable energy. We've moved the needle 2%, and at an enormous increase, by the way, in the retail price of energy in those countries that have dived into this the most. But electric vehicles still offset less than 0.5% of oil demand. Now, here's what's interesting. And I did not know this. This is. And so, for those of you who believe that we can alternative energy our way out of carbon, if carbon is an issue, here's some tidbits. Digital devices and hardware require an average of 1,000 times more energy to fabricate pound for pound than the products that dominated the 20th century. It takes nearly as much energy to make one smartphone as it does a refrigerator, even though the refrigerator weighs 1,000 times more than the smartphone. It takes an equal amount of energy. But the world produces 10 times as many smartphones a year as refrigerators. So if we really want to reduce our carbon footprint, rather than having gun control, we need to collect all the smartphones in the country and put them in a nice place where and turn them all off and think how much money we would save. Okay, because it's also the infrastructure that supports all those smartphones that need tremendous amounts of energy. And so for those on the left who believe deeply in climate change, they need to give up their smartphones. Global fabrication of smartphones now uses 15% as much energy as does the entire automotive industry, even though a car weighs 10,000 times more than a smartphone. It's just fascinating stuff when you look at it. Here's something interesting. In America, there are nearly as many vehicles as people, while in most of the world, fewer than 1 in 20 people have a car. Now think about that. We're 1 for 1, but in most of the world, it's 1 to 20. More than 80% of the world's population has never been on an airplane. More than 80%. And so as we look at the future of the world, and if we truly want people to become prosperous, then part of what we have to look at is, what does it mean to be prosperous as an individual? What are the benefits that we get as Americans that contribute to what we consider to be prosperity? And are we willing, do we think it's appropriate to give that up and go back to what many people would say is the Stone Age? But what we have is, just very quickly, we do have countries now that have moved dramatically faster toward trying to be net zero. And those countries, to a country, have seen an increase in their energy cost to consumers go up anywhere from 100 to 200%. And their people are becoming impoverished as a result.
And that is today's commentary for Monday, August 29th, 2022, by Crom Carmichael. As always, Crom, an excellent commentary.